Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola. Excuse my voice, just getting over some hospitalization. Excuse me, and we regret both of us, our guest, he came down with the flu. It's unusual, he's an older gentleman, but in the age range of people, adults, who can come down with this new Asian flu virus, he's under 50, and he's still sick. And I came down with something, I don't know what it is. Anyway, I'm sorry I missed the Tuesday show, or the Thursday show last week. Anyway, we're here today, and bear with me, I'm still regaining my voice. On this day in history, it's quite a day. As far as the United States is concerned, New Amsterdam, which became a city, which later became New York, and New York is in the news because of, not only because of the corruption there, but the proposed trial of these terrorists who've already been judged guilty by certain politicians and public officials. And, of course, these people are combatants, and, when are we going to learn? Also, this is the most important day in one of the president's background, James K. Polk, probably the most successful one-term president, and he only said he was only going to be there one term, and more land was acquired. This was the day which the Treaty of Guadalupe was signed, which ended the Mexican War, in which the United States acquired California, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, and there's still a fight over the Rio Grande. But anyway, it's interesting that Abraham Lincoln opposed that war, and he made a statement which he later regretted. He pointed to a map and said, "Show me the spot where American blood was spilt." And he later regretted that situation because the Civil War, and which was the first modern war, and a lot of American blood on both sides, brothers and brothers, cousins, fathers, uncles, were all killed in both the Confederates and the Union Army. And in some respects, we still haven't gotten over that. Among the interesting birthdays today, and it's still affecting American history, is General Jean de La Tour Tessenier. He was the last successful general to wage fight the guerrilla war when France still owned Indochina as French Indochina. He died of cancer, and he was a World War II hero. Also today, for those of you who are sports lovers, it's the birthday of George Halas, Papa Bear of the Chicago Bears, and who led his team to many Super Bowls. Great football coach. And those of you who love or hate Fox TV, Barry Diller's birthday is today. And those of you who love music and violinists, Fritz Kreisler, the great German-Jewish violinist, his birthday today, and he was also a composer. Excuse me, I'm still suffering from this bloody cold. Among the deaths today, very interesting, also, Gene Kelly, those of you who remember him singing in the rain, and his style of dancing, which he once described as compared to Fred Astaire, which was more ballroom and it was graceful, was what he called... not whiskey, but kind of a rough style. But he was a great dancer and singer, and Singing in the Rain is one of his great movies. And it's one you can see he might want to take to a desert island. Excuse me. And let's see, who else? Let's see, today, also, as part of the Russian exploration and intrusion or... I won't say invasion, but the Russians established, this was the Tsarist monarchy, Fort Ross, which is in mid-northern California, and that was the furthest that the Russians had come down from Alaska. And, of course, I did have an interview, and you can access it in our archives, with Richard Badisco, retired San Francisco policeman and realtor. His mother also ran a realty board. Great guy. One of his ancestors was involved in the purchase of Alaska, Monsieur de Bodisco. And it was one of, and of course, the Russians, when they sold that to the United States under the Andrew Johnson administration, it was one of the best bargains. But, of course, Johnson, who was excoriated for trying to carry out Lincoln's plan of reconciliation, was the first impeached president. And also today, it's important for immigration, the first Chinese legally arrived in San Francisco, a boatload of them. let's see, what else? And then, oh yeah, some interesting things that happened. The first, you're going to love this one, first men's toilet was opened in Fleet Street in London. And of course, they had a lot of problems with homosexuals hanging out and carrying on, and there have been some security lapses there involving British government officials who were in sensitive positions. And this plays into this whole issue that's come up again of don't ask, don't tell. And one of the reasons, and we'll get into this in greater depth because we've been, it's come up in several cases here in California, cases involving military personnel, young military personnel who have been targeted, stalked, targeted, raped, in some cases, mutilated, then murdered. And the guy who did that, sitting on death row, he murdered about 10 young Marines and I think one Army reservist. And then, of course, there's the Juan Piferre case, which is still censored and suppressed in the media. And Steve Neri, who was his victim, was going into 14 years in a case that has cost the American taxpayer an estimated $15 million. $10 million of that cost went to construct a AIDS building to house AIDS victims, and it's already become a build and abandoned slum. We'll get into that more. But the real issue, and of course men's toilets and homosexuals have been a problem with the late senator, former senator Larry Craig. We've had a couple of federal judges caught in public toilets. In the Lyndon Johnson administration, we had the Jenkins scandal, public toilet. And, of course, there have been others. As I said, the British security has caught some of their officials who were involved in military secrets and that kind of government activity. In activity that was not approved. And, of course, Britain in 1950 issued the Wolfden Report, which legalized homosexuality in Britain. And it's interesting. They never said much about lesbians, and it was Queen Victoria back in prior to the 1900 when she died on January 22nd, 1900, said there's no such thing as lesbianism. So, of course, we know differently today. Another interesting day today, Al Capone was sent to federal prison. That was this happened after the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which comes on a Sunday, this day. It's interesting, just as a digression, of course, you know, that's one of the most infamous events in Chicago and American history, but there was another event in December of 1969. I happened to be visiting friends and relatives. When Fred Hampton, a Black Panther, was sleeping in his bed, and there was a raid by a corrupt Chicago or Cook County district attorney, who later became a U.S. attorney, another corrupt U.S. attorney, Edward Vincent Hanrahan. And they, instead of ordering this guy, giving him a chance to waking him up and giving him a chance to surrender, they could do it with a bullhorn. He was sleeping in his bed, and more bullets were shot into him than were shot at the warehouse at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And, of course, that cost the city of Chicago and various individuals. I think it was an estimated $3 million that was paid in damages. Took a long time to get it, but they got it. And, of course, Hampton is lying in a cold, dead grave. These things should be, well-publicized. Also on this day, it was the first time a lie detector was used in court. And some people are thinking, well, maybe we should, this should be a requirement for people running for office and who are in office as politicians, public officials, as well as judges and lawyers. Maybe they ought to use lie detectors on them more often. Or also, this is one of the worst days for the German army. Today, in 1943, the Sixth Army in Stalingrad surrendered. Was one of the most stupid things that Hitler did. 100,000 young Germans, officers and men, went into Stalin's gulags. Only 10,000 returned. It's just horrible what they did. There's a famous movie I recommended. It's out on DVD, How Fast My Feet Have Carried Me, about a young German officer, Roman Catholic, good Catholic, just doing his job in the Wehrmacht. He was captured at Stalingrad and sent to the furthest. They sent these people to the furthest regions of Russia, Siberia, the worst regions, and the horrible things they did to them. He escaped twice. Finally, it took him a couple of years to successfully escape and end up back in Germany. Interestingly, he went back. He got back through Iran, and it's a fascinating story, and it's better than The Great Escape with Steve McQueen. Also today, President Truman, one of the first things he did in his administration, he was the one that integrated the American Armed Forces. It's interesting, he came from Missouri. His mother-in-law was a racist. But he ordered, or he requested that Congress, he proposed that Congress issue a civil rights law to cover everybody. And of course, national health care, which later became, and nobody's talking about this, we later got out of that. The country got these community health clinics, which about $9 billion is spent every year, or is budgeted. I don't know what's in Obama's budget. They're not talking about it. It's as if it doesn't exist. But we've done some research on the community health clinics, and I had some experience briefly with them. And we will be putting it up on our YouTube site. We're just testing out some new software. Also today, John Cassavetes died, great actor. Donald Pleasence, one of the great British actors, he died today. Boris Karloff, Dracula, and he was part of, this is something that's not known about the British experience in India. There was intermarriage between the British, the Raj as they were called, and Native Indian women. And some of these marriages produced people like Boris Karloff, Field Marshal Roberts, who was at Omdurman, I think, and his daughter married the great composer Sir Edward Elgar. Those of you, everybody who ever graduated from high school or college remembers the Pomp and Circumstance March number 1. There were five of them. And Elgar's wife was the daughter of Field Marshal Roberts, who was Anglo-Indian. And so that's an interesting part of intermarriage, and of course it ties in to legal immigration. Of course, the British were colonial masters of India, and they wisely got out. Unlike the French, they sent in people like General Marshal Le Tatre Tassigny to try to hold on to French Indochina, and they failed and tried to get us to help them. But Dien Bien Phu. And there's a movie out about that, documentary. That's where the French got their butts kicked out. One of the things, we're hearing a lot about these scandals or these controversies about people going to Haiti, various groups, to try to adopt these children or take these children to get, quote, a better life. In 1996, the Queen of Sweden held an international conference. It was August 27 to the 31st. It's called Report of the World Congress Against Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children. And, of course, this report was censored and suppressed by the morons in the media in places like San Francisco. I think San Diego had a little blurb in their media, but there was not a peep, not a pamper here in San Francisco. Of course, this is one of the capitals of pedophilia in this country. We have politicians one politician was on the school board, who was the head of NAMBLA in San Francisco, and he's from New Jersey, and a really obnoxious sort, and he reportedly has AIDS, so his karma's caught up with him. But anyway, he was on the school board. He was a teacher. And this, and we have other politicians who have embraced NAMA. We have Barney Frank, who was proposing, who actually got this permission for a NAMBLA group to go onto military bases in Japan, and the Marines were furious. And, of course, the whole idea is to go, NAMBLA goes there, their motto is, sex after 8 is too late. These people are predators. There's a definition that came out of this, because a lot of people think that a pedophile, that's the only definition for the sexual predators. But this came out of that report of the World Congress Against the Commercial Sexual Exploitation of Children. And this is how they define it. The pedophile refers to an adult who has a personality disorder which involves a specific and focused sexual interest in prepubertal children. The preferential child sexual abuser refers to those individuals whose preferred sexual objects are children who have reached or passed puberty. The situational child sex abusers refer to those who have sex with a child not because they are consistently or conspicuously seek out children as sexual partners, but because they are morally and or sexually indiscriminate and wish to experiment with child sexual partners, or because they have entered into situations in which children can match their ideals of physical attraction, are sexually accessible to them, and by certain debilitating factors are present which allow them to either delude themselves about the child's true age or about the nature of the child's consent. And even if a child under 18 does give consent, like they want to lower it to 16, and of course I think that's happened in Britain and in the European Union, it's not valid. It's not what in law is known as informed consent. And one of the major problems, and here they note the people who are responsible for this going on throughout the world. A wide range of individuals and groups at all levels of society contribute to the exploitative practice. This includes intermediaries, family members, the business sector, service providers like these bogus nonprofits, or these groups like CUAB, Community United Against Violence, which is a front, a lesbian-dominated front, which got a $1,000-a-day contract to go into San Francisco schools to teach children about gay and lesbian and transgendered sex. And American taxpayers paid for that through HUD. Also, there are customers, community leaders, and government officials, all of whom may contribute to the exploitation through indifference, ignorance of the harmful consequences suffered by children, or the perpetuation of attitudes and value that view children as economic commodities. And also, they should update this. Remember, this is a 1996 report, that it's the children's right that they should learn about these things. Another one of the myths, several myths, is a black sexual exploitation. A lot of people don't believe or are not aware or just ignore the fact that women can rape young males. It's not only these teachers we're hearing about or these older women who get involved with teenage boys. And, of course, there's the other end of that. Teenage boys who get involved in these relationships, which some of which, if the woman is married, have ended up in the murder of her husband. And there's a kid who's no longer a kid. It was an 18-year-old or 16-year-old boy in New England who got involved with a woman who decided she wanted to have her husband murdered so she could continue the affair. And this kid took the fall, and he's got life imprisonment in Connecticut or New Hampshire, I forgot which. But we've had cases in Washington, Florida, here in California, and women are and have been and will continue to be sexual predators, just as men have long been, and the focus has been on them. Also, there is another myth that males can't be raped. Well, they can be, and they have been. It's not only in juvenile hall by their uncle or cousin or even their father or grandfather. This happens. The incest, which is another aspect of the homosexual lesbian agenda. You should see the literature that these people put out. We came across it in investigating the Juan Pifre case, the Argentine sexual predator who had a long history from public toilets to hanging out at youth discos here in San Francisco. He couldn't go back to Argentina because he molested boys down there, but he had protection because his family was connected to the oldest bank in Argentina, a bank which allegedly serviced the Nazis who fled from Europe after World War II. They came through Argentina and went from there. People like Dr. Mengele, Klaus Barbie, went to Paraguay, Bolivia, Chile, Brazil, and other places, even up into Mexico, I believe some of them went. But anyway, this is one of the things that go on. Also, this whole don't ask, don't tell, you will be surprised who's really behind some of this in more ways than one. And these are people who have put out this pornography. You would be shocked what's on the web. It's disgusting how they target young military recruits. They even put it out in print, XY Magazine, and it's connected to people here in California. If you want to learn about prominent people who are involved in sexual predation of young boys, there is a case that happened in Bakersfield, California, and it just came up again. It happened about 30 years ago and went on for many years, where the deputy district attorney down there was involved, the homosexual, who was not only involved in messing around with young boys, but he was interfering in cases in which these boys were in custody for committing alleged crimes, whether it was drugs or attempted murder. And it came out because the district attorney down there, one of the worst in the whole history of California, railroaded a lot of people, and this hypocrite, who has cost that county millions of dollars and destroyed and damaged a lot of lives, kept this guy on. And it's similar, and it's the story is called The Lords of Bakersfield, and it was, I believe, a book came out. Also, a series was in the newspaper, The Californian, and also in Rolling Stone. We have a similar situation here in Northern California, and we call it the Lords of San Francisco, in which there is this homosexual mafia which fronts political candidates for various offices. They make campaign contributions to judges, to public officials. They are employed in the public sector. Some of them have been caught spending their time playing around with young boys on government time. Polk Street Prancers, they're called. And they interfere in cases. We've had three or four cases involving young males who've been accused of hate crimes against homosexuals. And there has been jury tampering. And, of course, in the Steve Neri case, it's complicated. And you can go to... you can Google Stephen Neri, Stevenary, World Net Daily. He was also featured, but this is not his total story, in the book by the investigative reporter and editor Jack Cashel, in What's the Matter with California? And believe me, there is a lot. We don't have to tell you that. But anyway, also the various Catholic publications, military publications, but of course the Gay Chronicle, which is dominated by homosexuals and lesbians and NAMBLAs, some of their own people, these are media people, that's why they're called morons, have been caught messing around with young girls and young boys. And of course, they cover up the predatory activity of prominent people, except in one case, the Thomas White. Thomas White was an individual, made his money in investments, and used to go to Thailand and pretend to help the young boys over there, and it turned out this guy was a sexual predator. And then he fled to Mexico, and we have photos which were given to us by a lawyer who was investigating the case and represented one of the clients who had been abused by Thomas White, who was connected to Juan P. Frey and James Hormel of the Meatpacking Clan, and of course through some politicians. And he was prosecuted down in Mexico. He was also prosecuted here, supposedly in the Ninth Circuit District Court here in San Francisco. We don't know what his situation is now because the Mexicans want to castrate him. He's destroyed a lot of people's lives, damaged, and gotten away with a lot. But he isn't the only one, and this is the thing that people need to ask, where is this policy going of anything goes at any time, any way, anyhow, when it becomes regarding these politicians, these media people who are not only involved in this illegal sexual activity, but cover up when crimes occur, such as deaths. And in the case of Juan P. Frey, he got killed trying to rape this young 18-year-old sailor who had never been in this type of situation before. And, of course, the sailor was assailed in the homosexual press as a male prostitute, which he wasn't. He didn't even know what the – he was one of these dumb Billy Budd types. And there are other types. We have a trail of bodies all from San Diego, the military base down there, all the way up through Canada, of this sexual predator, Randy Kraft, who picked up young males, drugged them, tortured them, mutilated them, and then thrown their bodies along the road or in a ditch, and 10 of them were young military servicemen. Randy Kraft is sitting on death row in San Quentin along with others, and we'll get into his story, and he will get the best legal assistance there is. There's another case that's not talked about, which is one of the most expensive prosecuted cases in California history, and that was Charles Ng, who was a Chinese, wealthy family, somehow got into the U.S. Marine Corps, and he got involved with Leonard Lake, and they used to abduct women and torture them and videotape the torture that they inflicted on these people. He also would peruse the ads in this homosexual prostitution paper called the Bay Reporter, San Francisco paper, which features glory holes and was connected to people who were employed in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office under Helen Ann and Arlo Smith, who were previous district attorneys, inept and corrupt, who tolerated this kind of employment in their office. But anyway, when I was up at KLW, the school district station, one of my fellow producers was Don Giletti. I didn't know Don was gay. Of course, you know, nobody paid attention. We just kind of get our programs done. And he placed ads in the Bay Reporter. And Charles Ng saw one of the ads, went to Don Giletti's house, and blew him away. There is the credible suspicion that Charles Ng is not only a psychopath, but he's a closeted homosexual psychopath. I mean, you just don't do this. But he did, and he's sitting on death row, and we'll get into his story. So, you know, just think of this. The American taxpayer, our American taxpayers are paying for all these people, and you're paying the salaries of these corrupt lawyers, and we'll get into them, and you can go to our blog. You can go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas, all one word, and go to our master blog, AmiCusVeritas.org, and you can see the documentation. We tell it like it is, like it was, and how it should be. We don't mince words when people's lives are in the balance, and the cost in both human terms and in the experience of just letting a kid be a kid, let him grow up, and then make his decisions as to what he wants to do when he is of the majority age, him or her. But we have these predators who are in the public sector who are paid. We pay their salaries, we pay their vacation, we pay their health care, and those who are corrupt, they get affordable housing, affordable condos, and you pay their retirement. So, you know, and then you pay the people who pay for and pay the individuals whose lives they have damaged through perjury, kangaroo courts, and all the rest of the state prison system. So you need to get wise, because the money ain't there. And people's lives are under risk, and that life, one life may be at risk, may be one of your own or somebody you know or somebody you care about. So excuse my ragged throat. We'll probably have our show Thursday, and we'll try to get our guests, and we have a lot of things planned. I've just been slowed with this illness. I don't know what it is. And so I'm sorry we didn't have it last Thursday, but we'll try to continue, as they say, carry on. Thank you for listening. This is Peter Paul Verzella, working with the New Shadow. And go to those websites. Go to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas. And if you have any questions, email me at pverzella@gmail.com. I think we have an email link on one of our web pages. If you have some suggestions and criticism, which we don't always like, hey, voice them. So this is Peter Paul Verzella. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll continue to listen and support Blog Talk Radio in the future, and in the present as well as the future. Excuse me, I've got this big frog. who just doesn't want to go away. And, well, I've got 5 seconds to go, and I'm not going to play any music. But anyway, tune in Thursday. Goodbye. Thank you.